Hi there. Welcome to the New Life Live podcast. Steve here. And since 1988, New Life has been transforming lives one life at a time. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's most hard, difficult places. One way we do this is through the live program that we share with our listeners here on this podcast. Now, you'll get to listen to callers bringing us their challenges, and our panel of counselors and psychologists provide insight, which you will learn from too.
Welcome to New Life Live. It's actually Chris Williams.
It's nice to know you know who you are today.
I had to think about it for a second.
I'll tell you who you are.
Whose shoes
Good
am I?
Good friend, colleague, very yes. wise.
Well, thank
Man.
You. Yes. Yeah. And Sherry, as always, great to share time, space, work with you.
Yeah. And love for our New Life people. The phones are available, so call in today. We'd love to care for your hearts today.
Yes. Sherry and I are ready to work. 1-800-229-3000. Dr. Jackie McHare should be joining us soon. It is a rainy, drizzly day here in Southern California, and she is stuck on the roads right now, but hopefully she'll be here very, very shortly. And as we get started today, Sherry, there is this really frustrating, nagging experience called fear. And a lot of us have a mind that says, that can really understand God's commands of do not fear, or this isn't a big deal, or for instance, I had a rough night in the Little League field with both of my boys' baseball games, and this morning I woke up with some frustration around it, and my head was saying it's not a big deal, but my heart was still wrapped in it, and my mind was still racing. What is that fear? What is that? What's the thing that's underneath all of that that drives this?
Well, you know, as I'm hearing your story, the first question I'd want to ask you is, what were you hoping for? Like, what do you think is lost that your boys didn't do such a good job yesterday? How does that impact you? What's lost in that?
Yeah, I think that, for instance, I'll take my younger guys' team. They're a good team. And in that game, they would have been favored if there was Vegas odds on it.
So, but what does that say about you?
Because I've asked myself that a lot, is that it could say that I didn't prepare the boys enough. I didn't do my job the way I needed to do my job to help them have the experience that they needed to have.
Now, thank you for being so vulnerable with us. Because it's hard to say that, right? We have to think, we have to self-reflect, but what it comes down to is, I didn't do a good job. I failed something. Yeah. Fear, if you think about F-E-A-R, fear is false evidence appears real.
That's right. Yep.
So false evidence that you think you're a bad dad or didn't do everything you could have or a bad coach or all of that.
Yes, yeah.
You're a great dad. I mean, we started the show and I'm like, you are a good person. But those lies, that failure, right, went right into your heart, and it dug down into the deepest place of worry for you.
Yes, yeah.
And it created a false narrative that appeared real, but it's not.
Of course, yeah. And I think that's an essential part. There's something that's happening inside of me that is creating the fear. There's also these situations. There's some situations and some calls that didn't go our way, which is very common, like in all of sports, but especially in Little League. And so it's when negative things outside of my control were happening. And so the practice of acceptance and the practice of putting things in context, and ultimately what I found this morning was gratitude. I get to be with my boys and play these great games and have this great fun on the field, and sometimes it doesn't go our way. And eventually, through prayer and through just reframing and getting that context, I was kind of being able to get back to my center. And also realizing, I'm not a perfect dad, not a perfect coach, but God's got me.
But what if I were to tell you, you're a really good dad and a great coach that just had a bad game?
Yeah.
I mean,
that makes a lot of sense.
Doesn't it?
It makes
a lot of freedom there.
We're here to make sense for you as well, as Sherry did for me. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Again, give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. We now have Dr. Jackie Mac Harris.
Hello.
In the house.
Yeah.
And
glad
again,
to be here.
Yeah.
Yes.
And like I said, you know, we ran into some construction on the roads this morning.
It's interesting. They picked a great time to do that.
Right. Situations outside of our control that create frustration that require us to practice acceptance.
Yes. Just finally accept you have no control over Caltrans deciding to do construction in the middle of the workday.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Well, it's so good to see you.
You too.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Ann in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Listening on KCFO. Hey, Ann, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Well, I love the laugh.
I'm so excited about this.
Well, we are too. We're excited to talk to you. What's going on?
Well, you know, I became a born-again child of God, and I want to please the Lord. And I got a phone call saying that I'm a millionaire. And that all I have to do is, like, send in $499 for the claiming of all the paperwork and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, wait a minute, I need to pray to God about it, okay? And so I talked to God about it, and the only thing I got was the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. But this has to do with, you know, the publishing house and, you know, numbers. And I don't know, as a born-again Christian, if we're supposed to do this or not. So that's my question.
So whether you're supposed to do this or not.
Or did I do the right thing?
So I have one word for you. Just one word for you, Anne.
Yes.
Scam.
Scam. We can all say it together.
Scam.
Scam.
Yes. We're all thinking the same word.
Scam.
Yes, you did the right thing.
Because I want you to remember, in the commercials where you see their publisher clearinghouse, what do they do? What do they do in the commercials? They come up to the door. There's a big balloon. There's people there in person. There's a big check they hand you face to face. It is not done after you give them $499. You know how many scams are happening right now? I have some dear friends of mine. Dear friends that are very, very smart. I mean, he is a police officer. She is works in a dental office. And you know what? She was scammed. And her whole life savings was given over to the scamming group. Because of so do you know what? The Lord protected you.
Yes, because I want to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And I told the Lord, because I was reaching out to the homeless people, that if I ever came into money, I would build a home, a house for the homeless and have a church inside that house, you know? And I said, wow, you know, if I'm a millionaire now, I can do that, right? But like I said, I got a check in my spirit.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel good about it, and I didn't know the reason why.
Hey, Ann, can I ask you,
in the Lord.
Can I ask you a question, Ann?
Yes, of course.
Why for much of your life have you felt insignificant?
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Insignificant?
Yeah.
Oh, I've always felt in my heart that Jesus comes first, others come second, and I come last. And that spells joy.
Okay, yeah.
And that's what the Lord showed me, that I had to stay humble in this life, and that he had to increase and I had to decrease.
Okay.
Do you know that's biblically backwards? Let me tell you,
I'm still learning and growing.
I know. But let me tell you something. When I was a little girl, I grew up in the church, and there was a song that I sang, you know, Jesus and others and you, what a wonderful way to smell joy. Like, I grew up singing that song. And then as I got older and began to read the Bible, do you know what I realized?
What?
That song was backwards, because this is what it really says. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mm-hmm. And then love your neighbor as you love yourself. So that means I have to put God first. And if I'm loving my neighbor as I love myself, then who's in the second position? it's you. It's more like joke. J-Y-O, than joy, because the Lord wants to make sure we are loving ourselves so that we can love others well. If I'm not loving myself well, then I'm not going to be able to love others well. Does that make sense? But that's what the biblical thing, and I'm sorry to kind of scramble mm-hmm. the eggs for people that love that song, but I thought it's theologically incorrect.
Absolutely, and we don't love ourselves because we're being told that that's not being a good Christian, when the reality is we're supposed to love ourselves and then love others as we love ourselves. So I think of that as in the same time and as in the same way. But if you're not loving you, focusing on you, choosing you, taking care of you, looking out for you, it's counterfeit what you're giving others. And you can't be okay through making somebody else okay. You focus on you. And then it's just so much easier to do life. You're not feeling as overwhelmed and stretched and taken advantage of and all those things. You are significant. You matter to God. God is okay with you loving you. It's actually a part of the command.
Mm. And Anne, what my question, which seems really off-putting and strange, and I get that, comes from the story you constructed for me. It was, I want to make sure that God is pleased with me. And I have to tell you, friend, it's too late. He's already pleased with you. There, you're not going to do anything more. That he's going to be like, oh, I'm more pleased with my daughter. No, he delights over you. And there isn't going to be some big project that you're going to be a part of in life to make you significant or part of his kingdom. You're already there. And this is really important because, Anne, this is for you, and I hope this is for every one of us listening out there, especially as Sherry mentioned that there's a lot of scamming going on. There are certain, and any of us, smart people can get scammed. All of us are going to be bamboozled in some way if we live any amount of time on this earth. But there's certain characteristics that make us more vulnerable and liable to being scammed. And one of those is what I call a victim state. It's a state of, it could be desperation, but a victim state is always looking for an outside rescuer. And so they're looking for that big next thing. And I see this all the time in my office as I'm working with people. It's like, when I land this person, my life will be better. When I win this money or get this pay raise, my life will be. That's all a victim state, waiting on something that's actually outside of our control. And so people can prey upon that. Hey, I will give you all of your dreams, even your God dreams. Just give me $500.
Yeah.
Right? And So what, when we come from a much more secure base inside of ourselves, I'm okay, you're okay, I have needs, of course. I have dreams and aspirations, of course. But when we build the wisdom and the security in us to, I'll use a term that Henry Cloud used a long time ago. It's like, it comes from Proverbs, to be honest. I will work like an ant. I will build it grain by grain by grain by grain. Now, if God chooses something to bless that, absolutely, and he does. But we want to get rid of that victim energy and that victim state that says, I need a rescuer, that home run ball to make this thing work.
And you were saying that part of the question, I think, was, as a Christian, because this has to do with numbers, is it okay? So I think that was like a lottery reference or a gambling reference. And our faith is in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. He's already paid it all. We've got to stop spending so much time worrying about what we might be doing wrong and focus on just loving Jesus and living and leaning into that. And that's relationship. Mm-hmm. We make a lot of mistakes, but some of the things that we have made taboo, like gambling, for example, I think it's relative, right? Because if you have a 401k, they're putting it in stocks, and that's a gamble. Right. So we decide what's okay and what's not okay because of man's standards, but ultimately your faith is in Christ as your Savior. And that's it. That's all. That's salvation. Yeah. That is all we worry about. Am I saved? Do I know Jesus? Do I have the Holy Spirit? Yes, I've accepted Christ. And then you did the best thing we can do as Christians. You went to God for an answer immediately.
I have one more question, Ann. Was there anybody else you talked to outside of God when you thought that you could win $1 million? Was there any friends?
Yes, I did. I talked to a sister in the Lord.
Good.
And what did your sister in the Lord say?
No, she said, Ann, don't do it.
All right.
Good
and
job.
I didn't do it. Yeah. I didn't call them back, and you know.
But you know what? Your gut instinct said no. Your spirit was at rest. And then you reached out to a friend. Do you know what? If all of our listeners would do what you just did, we'd probably have less of us being scammed on a daily basis. So go you. Yes. Go you as you're walking newly in your faith. We're proud of you.
Yeah. And if anybody else is listening, pay attention when people call you. Pay attention to your body. Mm. We've gotten accustomed over our lifetime to ignoring the signals that our bodies give us, because there'll be times when you're upset about something and someone will say, oh, you're fine. It's okay. Oh, don't cry. It's fine. Mm-hmm. And that over our lifetimes taught us not to trust our own inner knowing.
Yeah.
And God has put that in you. And so when you hear there's a warrant out for your arrest, and if you don't send us Cash App us $2,000 right now, the police would be knocking on your door. If they were going to put a warrant out for you and wanted to knock on your door, they would.
They would.
And you Cash Apping anybody $2,000 is not going to stop them from doing that. Matter of fact, they're probably not even going to knock on your door, especially if it's something you don't even know about. You don't even know you did something wrong. That's just not going to happen. If anything, you might get pulled over for a ticket, and then they'll tell you have a warrant. But no one's going to call you and tell you to give them money. Mm. Someone tells you, you just won this, but all you have to do is this. You didn't win anything. Yeah.
And you know what deception does? Deception comes as a counterfeit. Look how they use Published Clearinghouse. My friends, they used Wells Fargo.
Well, and some
my mom got scammed.
Websites that look very close to the originals.
Yeah, so there is a deceptive component to all this.
And
we love you guys.
It comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Yeah. Pay attention.
So, and this requires, what you guys are saying is so important, because it requires us living in a foolish age with keen wisdom. Mm-hmm. And we continue need to grow in wisdom. And so I'm going to send you a book. I'm going to send you Henry's latest book, Trust.
And that'd be a good one.
It will help you really, really dissect what are the components of that which is trustworthy and how we can grow in being trustworthy people. So, Ann, thank you so much for calling in today. And we're gonna be in here a couple hours today. So please give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. Again, that's 1-800-229-3000. I just want to mention a couple things. One thing is really, really important. This is offered online. And it is a one-day thing coming up here in June 10th. If you are a woman who has experienced sexual betrayal in your marriage or in your life, this Restore workshop is designed specifically for you. I want to encourage you to jump online. And also, if you're a man, if you're a guy who has really struggled with sexual integrity, or acted out in sexually unhealthy, betraying behavior, that is a torturous experience you do not have to live in, and that is an oppression you do not have to live under. Every Man's Battle is coming up here in Orange County, June 2nd through the 4th. Please, if you're struggling in those areas, do not delay. Sign up today. And lastly, and excitedly, you know, coming back in July 28th in Washington, D.C. is our Intimacy in Marriage workshop. Whether you are looking for significant help or you're looking to just get a boost, this workshop is for you. You can see all of that online, www.newlife.com. And again, give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Again, Chris Williams, Dr. Sherry Kefford, Dr. Jackie Mack Harris, and we are excited to talk to you. Again, we're going to be in studio here a couple hours. Give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. We are now going to go to Mike in Tulsa, Oklahoma, who listens on our podcast. Mike, are you there?
I am.
All right, man. Talk to us. What's going on?
So my wife, about 7 months ago, she just left after having an argument. And it sucks because right as she left, I had just had the realization of depression. I went and saw a doctor. I started getting on medication. I then thus found out that I was ADHD. And even that summer, I had lost my best friend of 25 years. Mm. And so now that my wife has left, I'm just kind of struggling.
Yeah.
But since then, I have gone to, right after hearing about an hour, I'm going to go see my psychologist. I have a counselor. Mm. I go to Celebrate Recovery. I think I've read about half the books y'all recommend already.
Yeah.
So I started volunteering, and now that I'm kind of better mentally, I'm still mourning my wife, and she's giving me mixed signals. She just told me she is serious. She never wants to come back to the marriage, but she wasn't feeling good, so she came and spent the night last night. And so I'm like, you know, my kids.
Can I ask a question about last night?
Yeah.
Were you guys sexually intimate?
No, but we actually have been a month ago.
Okay.
And we were a few times.
Okay.
Right.
So Mike, I have a question. If your wife were on the phone today and she would say, "My struggle with the marriage, why this marriage no longer works for me is what?
Because I've been financially irresponsible, untrustworthy. She would say that.
And specifically, untrustworthy around what? What have you been untrustworthy with?
Before we were married, she found text messages of other girls, and even though I wasn't doing anything, maybe a year into our marriage, I think I was texting girls, not like bad, but definitely inappropriate, and so. That, our house almost got foreclosed once. I haven't been able to keep a job. You know, a lot of things she would say I'm argumentative too.
So, Mike?
And I stress her out. She says I stress her out a lot.
Yeah, those things can be really stressful that you just mentioned. This is Sherry. Hey,
yes.
I totally get where your wife's coming from. I lived a similar path, not the same path, but a similar path. And so one thing that I'm hearing right now, today, in this moment with us, is you're still minimizing. Even though you've read a lot of books, even though you're seeing professionals, you're still making light of what you did. And she knows that. She can hear it.
Well, I told her, you know, I said, you know, she kind of yelled at me a few months ago.
Wait. You know what you're doing? You're defending.
Okay.
Yeah. You just did what she says you do with me. And we just met.
So here's a helpful skill in communicating. Mirror back what you heard rather than challenge it or redirect it. Just, okay, so here's what I hear you saying. I hear you saying I'm still minimizing these things that have been hard for her and hurt her. And then you can sit with that and really take it in because you've mirrored it back. And people, when they're sharing their concerns, they want to know that you heard them and understand where they're coming from. That's probably where she got the argumentative piece from. She might not have felt validated in her concerns and maybe didn't feel like you could actually empathize with where she was coming from. Because it's like, well, it wasn't really that bad. It wasn't really that big of a deal. And that may be very true in your body. But something happened in hers that was devastating.
Yeah. Can I ask you another question?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she doesn't want to even talk about anything deep. And when she does, she gets, like, super mad and aggressive. And I haven't denied anything that I did that she brings up.
Actually, you have. Mike, please. If you only get this one thing from us today, talking to other women while you're dating somebody, talking to other women after you're married, after you've said, I do, and I forsake all others, you know what that is? Do you know what that is? What is it?
Infidelity, cheating.
Yes, you cheated. That's why she's not giving you your heart. Because you need to move into ownership. Ownership is acknowledging what's true, getting honest with yourself and her. Over and over and over again.
So Mike, we're going to head to a break right now, but we're going to get back right after this, and we're going to help set you in the right direction. We'll be right back after this.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now, let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live, and we're talking with Mike, who is in a really tough and even painful marital situation. So, Sherry, what do you have for Mike?
Hey, Mike, I might feel like I'm being tough on you right now, but actually I'm loving you to the best of my ability to really call you into a deeper level of honesty. And that's what we do here at New Life. We're all about really helping you see what you see, because we all have blind spots. I have blind spots. So I would love you to take one more step, and we have Every Man's Battle coming up. I want you to invest in that. I want you to come to the face-to-face, whenever that next one is, because I want you to be around men, and I want you to see other men, have talked to other men who are not going to shame you. They're going to walk alongside you and help you move into a deeper level of honesty with yourself, because you can't repair your relationship with your wife until you're fully honest with yourself and acknowledging what's true in the moment.
Yeah. And Mike, I would deeply encourage you, because what you're talking about is these patterns that are breaking trust. In breaking trust with yourself and other people, you know, the irresponsibility with money, which tells me that there's a lot of chaos in your life and there's a lot of fear. And my guess is that's not new. And that's also not you, right? I think that those are experiences that were placed on you very early on. I imagine you grew up in a very scary and chaotic environment. And so I can't affirm more what Sherry has said. that coming to every man's battle will allow the safest, securest doorway for you to walk into and explore those deeper parts of you, get honest, get more transparent, and then be able to move into greater clarity.
And can we send him a copy of my book?
Yes.
The reason I want you to read my book, Mike, is I have a number of men that read it that for the first time begin to understand their wife's heart through the impact of cheating, infidelity, and betrayal. And I'm going to ask you to read it and not compare your wife's story to mine. That's not what this is about. This is about really listening for the impact of betrayal.
Yeah. So, Mike, thank you so much for calling in today. We are cheering and praying and wishing you and your wife healing and health and growth. So let us help you take advantage of it, and that book is going to be coming your way. And coming our way in studio today, right now, is Larry Sonnenberg.
Hey, Chris, thank you very much. And you guys are talking about Every Man's Battle, and that is coming up June 2nd to the 4th right here in Orange County, live and in person, and cannot encourage any guy listening to come and partake in that. And
Mike included.
Absolutely.
Hey, buddy, we'd love to have you go and then tell us what it was like afterwards.
Love to meet you there.
Yeah.
But here's a testimony from a man who went last year to Every Man's Battle. After he said he's been in recovery for porn addiction for over a year. So after a year of recovery, he still went to Every Man's Battle. And I love that. He says, in that year's time, I learned a lot about myself and what God thinks about me. I've also come to realize that my relationship with God had been very dependent on how I was doing with my addiction. In other words, I was letting my ability to manage a specific sin determine how worthy I was and how good God was in my eyes. Over this weekend, I've been blown away by the blunt honesty in the testimonies of the men here. No one is tiptoeing around this. The accountability here asks pointed questions and follow-up questions that make no room for deception or dishonesty. So my takeaway from the workshop are two challenges. One, full disclosure with my wife. And two, I need to find a better accountability partner.
That's really good.
So he hit the nail on the head. There is no tiptoeing around this at this workshop. And it makes a difference. And it's why we seek support. You know, right now we have a matching gift going, $325,000. And we are at a little over $140,000. And based on a couple of phone calls I received by the end of this week, I'm sure we're going to be over halfway there, over 160, 70,000. But we need your help to finish this up. Your gift will be doubled. Make a gift, $10, $50, $100, and it times two. That's what you're giving to us, because we don't use the gifts that came in on this match until it is matched. And I just want to say thank you to everybody who is giving or will give. It's a blessing, and thank you for sharing your blessing with us.
Yes, thank you, Larry, so much, and thank you for guiding our ship really, really well. And with that, I want to go to a phone call. I want to go to Sheila in Gainesville, Florida, listening on WEJF.
I'm sorry, this is my doctor.
Sheila, you're there?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, how's it going today?
You know, it's going. It's life.
Okay, so so here's the deal. We're going to come up against a break pretty quickly here. So I want to get to your question as quickly as possible so we can answer it when we get back. So give us a quick description of what's going on and the question for us today.
Going through an absolutely horrible divorce due to some abuse and infidelity issues. Upon leaving the marriage, got my kids into therapy. I have two with disorders. Found out that there were other issues related to my ex with my children, to the point that my daughter is going through her second DCF investigation. And my problem and what I'm having trouble with is I cannot wrap my head around the concept of these therapists and these different people that are supposed to be protecting my children, wanting me to continually encourage a relationship with my ex, because I don't feel like they're in a safe situation, and I don't understand
So Sheila, just as a clarification, have they been specific about that relation? Like, what type of relationship with your husband are they, or your ex-husband are they recommending?
So, my daughter had told me about some inappropriate touching and stuff, and I went through the court system to have a guardian ad litem appointed because two of my children do not want to spend time with him. And, you know, related to these issues, from my understanding, two of them have PTSD related to their father.
So we get that. We get that he's dangerous and he's really unsafe. And it's so important. That's really critical.
Well,
what are the professionals recommending is what I'm asking.
So they recommend, like, it's court ordered that my children still have to see him.
Okay.
Unsupervised.
Unsupervised.
Yes. Yes. Which I have a tremendous problem with. I'm still trying to fight the court on that. But over that, because I'm kind of, you know, I know what the legal process is, just emotionally and biblically, like, I understand we're supposed to forgive everybody. God forgives us.
Hold on. You're making a classic mistake, Sheila. And I'm saying that I'm interrupting because not only you, but we all need to hear this. Forgiveness and closeness are not the same thing. Mm. Closeness requires trust, not forgiveness.
Yeah. And the forgiveness is for the forgiver.
Yes.
So that's just so you don't, and the kids don't continue to carry around hate and animosity that wears them down. That what you were about to say sometimes has us tolerating the intolerable because as Christians we're supposed to forgive. So I think
that's my frustration, I guess, with the therapist and biblically.
Well, also the courts. You're saying the
relationship.
Well, you're saying the courts are mandating that he have visitation alone with them.
Yeah.
Has
the majority of the time I don't make my children go.
Yeah,
I'm not going to answer for that in front of God.
The Department of Child and Family Services come up with an inclusive, have their reports come in inclusive to the sexual touching?
The first time it was investigated, they said that they didn't have enough proof. I forget exactly how they worded it in the report, but they said that
unsubstantiated?
No charges.
Yeah.
Yes, unsubstantiated. That's it. Sorry. You know, and even though it listed like what my daughter specifically said he was doing,
Sheila, is there a question for us that we can help you with?
So biblically, like, I feel like she, you know, my children should forgive, but I do not feel like they should be pressured into having this relationship with their father just because he's their father. And I know you're supposed to, you know, honor your father and mother.
So the question is, what do they forgive and do they have a relationship with him? Is that correct?
Yeah, kind of, because the therapists want them they are kind of forcing me to encourage a relationship.
Okay, so
them.
we're gonna go to a break right now. We're gonna come back and we're gonna hopefully help bring some great clarity to your situation. And so hold on, we'll be right back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Chris Williams, Dr. Jackie Mack Harris, Dr. Sherry Keffer. We're going to be here in studio for another hour after this. So please give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. Again, that's 1-800-229-3000. If you're one of those waiting online, hold on. We'll get to you. So give us a call or hold on. And we're going to go right back to Sheila, who is experiencing a really, really tough situation of an abusive ex-husband, including abuse towards her children, and getting conflicting information around that. Jackie, what do you have for Sheila?
Well, Sheila, it sounds like your question is, is it the right thing as a Christian woman to have your children have a relationship with their father? And then there's the honor your mother and father piece that you were about to go into, that the rest of that verse says, fathers, don't cause your children to wrath. So if we're going to, you know, pull scriptures out, we have to pull.
I kind of understand some of that. And just to give a little bit of background there, he will use scripture and stuff against me and the children.
Yeah. And so often people take it out of context, and it sounds like gaslighting. Like you're being told to do things that your instincts tell you are wrong. Your children are saying this is unsafe, and other people are saying, no, you're fine, go ahead, which is only going to teach them not to trust their own knowing in their own body about what's safe and good for them. There's what the courts say, and then there's what you say as the mom, what the kids are saying about their own body. What I heard you say is that you're not forcing them to go see him.
Yeah, so like right now, for instance, in relation to the court order that requires the kids to go, you know, on certain times or certain days, if they choose not to go, I will not force them.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
sounds like you have the answer. You know,
well, biblically, I would like some more.
So hold on. Sheila, you don't need another Bible verse. You need to know what you already know.
Yeah.
You need to know the wisdom that God has already given you. Let's make this super simple. Those children need protected, right?
Yes.
That's it. Now it gets a little bit nuanced in the sense that now you've got to take measures and every measure possible as mom to ensure their safety and protection.
And don't let anybody twist you up in Bible verses. Yes, we love the Bible. We love the Lord. We love the Word of God. However, right now what you need is to protect your children. And we could take Bible verses and throw them at you and convince you of whatever we wanted to convince you of. That is not going to be helpful to you, as you already know. It's already been done. We're not going to do more of the same. You have the knowing. You have the answer. Trust it. Don't let them gaslight you with Bible verses. You know, lots of horrible things have been done with Jesus being hijacked, right? We'll say we're doing it in the name of Christianity, although it's terrorizing someone else. So you just do what is best for your children and advocate with all your heart. Advocate for them. Fight for the protection of those kids. And don't let somebody come throw scripture in your face and tell you that you're wrong.
And you know, I kind of get why we do that, Sheila. I get why we are looking for a higher authority. And the Bible seems to be one of those higher authorities, because what we're really looking for is power. Mm-hmm. We're looking for choice. We're looking for decisions to be made in a situation that feels so insane. It feels so powerless. I'm in agreement. I think you're standing right, and I think you're standing firm. I want to empower you with to look this up. It's called Keeping Children Safe from Family Violence Act. Keeping Children Safe from Family Violence Act, a.k.a. the Kaidens Law, K-A-Y-D-E-N-S Law. It's going to point you in the direction of a lot of mom advocates like yourself.
That's good.
That are saying enough is enough because children are being hurt. Do you know how many clients I have in my practice that are sexual abuse survivors that had DCFS come to them when they were children and asked them, did your daddy touch you? Did someone touch you? And you know how many of them said no? They were afraid to say yes because they were afraid they were going to split the family. They were afraid they were going to get in trouble. They were just afraid.
Well, and the perpetrator grooms them to not say anything.
So that's what we've found out when I left because of a certain situation that got very physical with me. So I filed for an injunction for my safety to try and get him out of the house with me and the kids. They denied that. They said I didn't have enough physical proof. Well, then after that, when I put the kids in therapy, because, you know, I knew that they had seen some of this stuff, that's when I found out about these other issues. So, like, my daughter, speaking with DCS, has already told them, yes, this stuff has happened. And so, like, two of my kids are older, and they have disorders. They have high-functioning autism and stuff. And so my oldest son completely refuses to acknowledge anything.
Yeah, so Sheila, to that point, you're going to have to play the long game here.
And you become the strongest parent advocate surrounded by some other parents that are fighting the system that can be broken. They don't hear it, but that doesn't mean you don't have to hear it. You can hear it. Yeah. It's just you're going to need people around you that validate you so you don't feel like you're putting your children into crazy way. But then you're going to be able to back it up with laws and cases and all this that's going to help people back down so that you know they know why you're fighting this hard.
Yeah.
And for your faith piece, keep that line of communication with God open. Spend time with God in prayer and in sitting and waiting to hear from Him. Get confirmation from God. Trust your relationship and your intimacy with God to speak to your heart. It sounds as though it already is, and others are trying to take that away from you, but you already have the power in your confidence and your faith in Christ.
Sheila, we're going to send you a copy of Henry Cloud's newest book, Trust. Again, it's going to help cut through all of the noise of gaslighting into what are the key components of what makes a person trustworthy. It's also, Henry does a great job of explaining the difference between forgiveness and closeness and trust. Closeness requires trust. Forgiveness just requires our willingness to release the sins done unto us. And so those are two totally separate things. So we're going to send you a copy of that. Sheila, thank you so much for calling in today. And our heart breaks for you and for your children. And we really seek God's protection and guidance for you in this area of your life.
Dr. Jackie's asking me to read it again.
Oh, yes,
so again, it's Keeping Children Safe from Family Violence Act. Or it's also called Kaden's Law, K-A-Y-D-E-N-S Law, Kaden's Law.
Thank you.
In case anybody else out there.
Yes, yeah. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for being with us today. Again, we're going to be in the studio here another hour, so give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. If you're waiting online, stick with us. We'll get to you here very, very shortly. I say this to my clinicians in my office. If it's not safe, it's not anything else. And I think that's true for all of us. If it's not safe, it's not anything else, especially in our relationships. So seek safety, become safe, and seek God's assurance in that. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing. And we're so glad that you're here.